WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
If it seems to you that more people are developing life-threatening food allergies, you're right. There's no definitive explanation, but there's a few theories about why. My guest, Dr. Hugh Sampson, is the president of the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. He's a professor of pediatrics at Mount Sinai School of Medicine, where he directs the Jaffe Food Allergy Institute. Dr. Sampson, welcome to Fresh Air. What are some of the foods most likely to cause an allergic reaction?
Depending on the age of the individual, in very young children, the most common foods causing allergic reactions are milk, egg, and peanut. Less so things such as soy, wheat, fish, and shellfish. In older individuals and adults, the most common foods are peanuts, tree nuts, fish, and various shellfish.
So what causes an allergic reaction in the first place? Why do our bodies sometimes respond to food as if they're some kind of toxic?
Well, this is part of the immune system protective response at a time when we had a great deal of difficulty with things such as parasites and worms. This form of the immune system was very effective in trying to rid us of those various pathogens. Now we don't confront those as often, and there seems to be some missignaling on the part of the immune system whereby part of the immune system will inadvertently or incorrectly react against specific foods.
If our immune system is built the way it was to deal with parasites, why is it having a different response when it reacts to a food that it considers an enemy?
Part of it may be related to the way we program our immune system. And one of the theories out there as to why we're seeing more in the way of allergy is the so-called hygiene hypothesis. We know that the immune system gets programmed by bacteria that enters our gastrointestinal tract and on our skin shortly after birth. And also, there are effects of various infections that we have. And the theory is that we're not getting the appropriate signals, and that's leading to this misprogramming in certain individuals that lead to the allergic reactions.
Okay, so there's different theories about why so many people have allergic reactions to food now. You just started describing one of them, which is that we're not exposed to the same amount of pathogens as we used to be?
Correct.
And that's because of what, antibiotics and high-strength cleansers and things like that?
Better sanitation, more frequent use of antibiotics, better preservation of food products, a number of things that we've done that have very positive health benefits but may have, led to this inadvertent consequence.
So our immune system, which would have learned how to react to these genuine pathogens, isn't exposed to those pathogens that much, and so it freaks out with certain foods?
Yes, that's generally the theory.
Did I put that scientifically enough for you?
That's perfect.
So does that explain why the number of food allergies seems to be increasing?
Well, I'm not sure it does in total, and there are probably a number of different theories. So, for example, if we look at the prevalence of peanut allergy in our country, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, it's the highest in the world. You go to areas of China where the consumption of peanut is really the same per capita, and you see virtually no peanut allergy. Similarly, in other countries in Africa, for example, peanut products are introduced very early. They're ingested quite frequently, and they see very little in the way of peanut allergy. Some of that may have to do with the way we prepare the foods that we eat. So with the case of peanut, in the U.S. and the other countries I mentioned, we generally consume them as in a dry roasted form. And this high heat of dry roasting actually brings about some changes, something called a Maillard reaction, in the peanut protein that actually makes it more allergenic or more likely to cause allergic reactions. Whereas in other countries in Africa and China, for example, they will much more frequently boil it, so you don't get that same change. We actually have developed a mouse model of peanut anaphylaxis, whereby we can sensitize a mouse to experience a similar kind of reaction if they were to ingest peanut. But if we try to do it with the boiled peanut as opposed to the dry roasted, we really can't get much of a response. So that may have something to do with the way we prepare the foods. It may also have something to do with when we introduce foods. So for example, there has been a study looking at the prevalence of peanut allergy in Israel. And in that study, it was noted that the prevalence was about one-tenth of what you saw in children in Hebrew school in London. And one of the things that is very different there is that in Israel, they use a weaning food or a food that they first give to a baby called bamba. And this bamba contains peanut, and it may be that actually rather than trying to restrict exposure to things such as peanut, which has, you know, been more of a common practice in our country, that perhaps giving large amounts early on may induce something called high-dose tolerance or may actually help prevent it. So this is another thing that is being looked into, and there actually is a very large study going on in London right now addressing this particular issue.
I know you've done some studying of Chinese medicine and Chinese herbs. What have you learned from Chinese medicine about food sensitivities and food allergies?
A lot of this work has been done by Dr. Xiumin Li, who is in our group and who actually came to Mount Sinai with me from Hopkins when I came about 10 years ago. Interestingly, there is nothing about food allergy in the books of traditional Chinese medicine. So she, through a lot of reading and such, came up with some formulations that she thought potentially would be effective. So she combined things related that were related to allergy and also related to some kinds of responses in the gastrointestinal tract, and used these formulations in our mouse model of peanut anaphylaxis, and was able to show that it completely blocked the allergic response that we were seeing. We subsequently done some work trying to understand what they actually do, and they have direct effects on the immune system, turning down some of the signals that promote this allergic reactivity. So we don't fully understand what they're doing, but they're very impressive in these animal models. And now we do have approval from the FDA and have a study that has been started in humans looking at the possibility that this may be an effective way to treat food allergy.
I think it's kind of exciting that the medical field is looking into Chinese herbs as a way of treating food allergies.
We have to certainly keep an open mind, and I'm always open for anything that might be useful in treating food allergies. I've been dealing with it for about 25 years, and you know, up till this point, about the only thing we could tell our patients was you had to avoid foods and try to teach them what dangerous situations were, and people continue to make mistakes. Food allergy is still the leading cause of anaphylaxis.
Which is what?
Anaphylaxis is a severe allergic reaction in which many of the, again, what I'll call target organs, so your respiratory tract, like your nasal passages, your throat, your lungs, your gastrointestinal tract, your skin, and even your cardiovascular system, your heart and your blood pressure can all be affected at one time. And this is something that can happen very rapidly and lead to death. And in this country, as I say, it is the single leading cause of these kinds of reactions that are treated in emergency departments in the U.S. Various estimates would put that in the range of 125,000 visits to emergency rooms in the U.S. This is based on a recent study published by one of the FDA groups, and then also leading to about or over 3,000 hospitalizations and possibly from other studies, 100 to 150 deaths per year. So, you know, fairly serious problem.
My guest is Dr. Hugh Sampson, president of the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air.